Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Ecology of Commerce Revised Edition, a Declaration of Sustainability by Paul Hawken, is a business and environmental studies book that argues that modern commerce must be reorganized around ecological limits. First published in the early 1990s and later revised, it remains a landmark critique of industrial capitalism from the perspective of sustainability. Hawken does not treat ecology as a separate moral concern added onto business. Instead, he presents it as the framework within which business must operate if it is to remain viable. The book combines diagnosis and prescription. It explains how industrial production externalizes environmental costs, then proposes a restorative economy that aligns profit-making with natural systems. Written for managers, students, policymakers, and concerned readers, it helped popularize ideas such as eco-efficiency, biomimicry, and green taxes. Its purpose is practical as well as intellectual, offering a case for redesigning business so that economic activity becomes regenerative rather than destructive. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, why conventional commerce conflicts with ecological systems? Hawken's central claim is that the dominant model of commerce treats the natural world as both a source of raw materials and a sink for waste, which makes environmental degradation a structural outcome rather than an accident. He argues that business decisions are often evaluated by short-term financial returns, while the real costs are shifted onto air, water, soil, biodiversity, and future generations. This framing matters because it changes the problem from one of isolated bad actors to one of system design. The book insists that industrial growth, when measured only by output and profit, can conceal ecological damage that is not priced into markets. By presenting commerce and ecology as fundamentally intertwined, Hawken challenges readers to see sustainability not as an optional ethical add-on, but as a requirement for economic legitimacy. The strength of this argument is that it connects environmental harm to ordinary business practice, making the case that the current model is not simply inefficient, but incompatible with the conditions that support life. Secondly, the restorative economy as a replacement for extractive industry. Rather than asking business to become slightly less harmful, Hawken proposes a restorative economy that is designed to work with natural processes. This concept is more ambitious than pollution control because it aims to redesign production, distribution, and consumption so that they regenerate systems instead of degrading them. The book suggests that the long-term future of commerce depends on mimicking the cyclical logic of ecosystems, where waste from one process becomes input for another and materials remain in continuous use. In this view, sustainable business is not defined by doing less damage alone, but by participating in a closed-loop logic closer to nature. Hawken uses this idea to move the discussion beyond reforming individual products and toward reorganizing whole industries. The restorative economy is important because it offers a concrete direction for change. Business should not merely reduce its footprint, but become part of the repair of ecological systems. That makes the book distinctive within business writing, since it treats regeneration as an organizing principle rather than a niche strategy. Thirdly, eco-efficiency, eco-effectiveness, and biomimicry as practical design principles. The book is not only a critique, it also introduces frameworks that translate sustainability into business language. Eco-efficiency refers to producing more value with fewer materials, less energy, and reduced waste, while eco-effectiveness goes further by asking whether the product and process are healthy, non-toxic, and compatible with long-term ecological health. Hawken's emphasis on biomimicry reinforces this shift by encouraging businesses to learn from nature's designs rather than impose purely industrial logic on the world. These ideas are significant because they offer operational criteria that managers and designers can apply to real decisions about manufacturing, packaging, logistics, and product life cycles. The book's contribution is to show that sustainability is not only about intention or public relations. It must be built into the structure of materials, incentives, and engineering choices. By moving from abstract concern to design principles, Hawken gives the reader a vocabulary for evaluating whether a company is truly improving or only appearing greener. This practical orientation is one reason the book has remained influential in business and sustainability education. Fourthly, green taxes and pricing the real costs of pollution. Hawken argues that markets fail when they ignore the true social and environmental costs of production, and he therefore supports policy tools that correct those distortions. One of the book's most concrete proposals is the use of green taxes, especially carbon taxes that are revenue neutral, meaning they can be balanced by reducing other taxes such as those on labor or income. The logic is to shift the tax burden away from desirable activities and onto harmful ones, so that pollution becomes more expensive and efficiency becomes more attractive. This approach is important because Hawken does not rely only on voluntary corporate virtue. He recognizes that incentives shape behavior at scale, By internalizing externalities, policy can make ecological responsibility part of normal business calculation rather than an optional extra. The book's treatment of taxation helps connect environmental theory to public policy in a straightforward way. It also shows that sustainability is not only a technical problem, but an institutional one. Requiring rules that make environmentally destructive choices less profitable than cleaner alternatives. Lastly, the book's critique of business culture and its limits as a political program, although Hawkins' analysis is influential. The book is also notable for what it does not fully develop. Its broad indictment of industrial capitalism can feel morally forceful. But some critics have argued that it offers less detail on politics, social justice, and implementation than its diagnosis deserves. This limitation is part of the book's historical character. It works best as a wake-up call and framework for rethinking business, not as a complete roadmap for economic transition. Even so, the book remains valuable because it reshapes how readers think about responsibility. It asks companies to account for the real costs of their actions and challenges the assumption that profitability and sustainability are naturally opposed. At the same time, its critical tone can seem severe, which may make it less accessible to readers looking for incremental or compromise-based solutions. That tension is part of its identity. The book stands between manifesto and management text, combining urgency with practical ideas, but leaving later writers to fill in many political and social details. In conclusion, The Ecology of Commerce Revised Edition is best suited to business students, sustainability professionals, policymakers, entrepreneurs, and general readers who want a serious introduction to the relationship between markets and ecological limits. It is especially useful for readers who are dissatisfied with superficial green branding and want to understand why sustainability must be built into the structure of commerce itself. The book offers practical value by clarifying core concepts such as externalities, eco-efficiency, biomimicry, and green taxes, while also providing a bigger intellectual frame for thinking about industrial systems. What sets it apart from many books in the business and environmental genre is its willingness to make a blunt structural argument. The problem is not only bad behavior by individual firms, but the design of the economic model itself. Compared with lighter sustainability guides, it is more critical and more conceptually ambitious. Compared with purely academic ecology writing, it is more accessible and directly aimed at business practice. Its enduring importance comes from that combination of urgency, clarity, and practical direction. It helps readers understand not just why change is necessary, but why commerce must be redesigned if environmental responsibility is to be more than a slogan. If you would like to support Paul Hawken, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.